Lord. Hallelujah. Well, at this time in the broadcast, we're going to go ahead and share our study portion for today. And I have a question for all of us in a distraction-filled world. What is the center of our attention? What is the thing that we are focusing on? And that is the title of today's study. We're surrounded by things that are often trying to take our attention, anything from advertisements and billboards to the media and the television to magazines and books. Advertisers know the things that have our attention. If it's their product, then we'll buy their product. But what is the center of our attention? If you were to take a camera and make everything blurry except one object, the one object would be the center of your attention. I think the enemy has a number of things that will potentially take our attention away from what's really important. And this is one of them. Little smartphones, right? And sometimes the smartphones have a way of taking our attention away from our family members, taking our attention away from Yahweh. Sometimes our computers and our devices and our television sets and our things that are marvelous inventions, and if used properly, can be a powerful tool for good, can take our attention away from the things that are really important. And so my question for all of us is, what is the center of our attention? Are we placing all the things that we see and come in contact with, are we putting it through a filter and filtering out the junk and hanging on to what is good? Scripture says, test all things and hold to what is good. Dispose of what is evil. When we were born into this world, our mind was blank. Our brain was blank. Everything was kind of just reflexes. But as we grow, we learn about the world we live in. We learn about certain behaviors that have negative consequences. Others have positive consequences. We learn we did not create ourselves, hopefully. Yahweh is our Elohim. He created us. He has a purpose in creating us. There is a reason for our existence. And we learn through the scriptures that man has chosen not to walk in the image of Elohim, but that we can be restored to the image of Elohim through the Messiah Yahshua. And so everything happening in the world today, all the noise, the things that go on, all the things that might get us sidetracked, what is the big picture? What is the main priority of our life? What has our attention? In the end, what does Yahweh mean to us? It's not going to matter how much money you made yesterday. It's not he who dies with the most toys wins. That's a lie. Is it going to matter what happens to the government, or this government, or that governor, who's president next year, or the big picture? Kind of makes all that seem awful small to me. I mean, I look at the big picture, that seems awful small. Is it going to matter what kind of cars are going to be invented next year, what models are going to be out? Is it going to matter how we solve the energy problems or the economy? What's going to matter? When we stand before Yahweh in judgment, is it really going to matter what the economy is like? the important question all of a sudden becomes clear. So I want to talk about some of these things. The scriptures say, if you are raised with Messiah, seek those things which are above. The things which are above, where Messiah is, sitting at the right hand of Elohim. Is that where your mind is set? Not on things of the earth. Set your mind on things above. Spiritual things, heavenly things. Why? Something was supposed to happen. You died. And your life now is hidden with Messiah in Elohim. So what is our point of emphasis? What is our focus? Where is our attention? Is it on earthly things or on heavenly things? There's all kinds of distractions today. Even in our faith, even in those who believe in Scripture, there are even distractions in terms of majoring on the minors. Right? Some people are caught up in the racial background, whether you're physically Israel or not. And there are groups out there that spend most of their time talking about, oh, we're the lost tribes of Israel. And if you're Caucasian, you don't have a lot of melanin in your skin, that means you're Israel. Others say if you have lots of melanin in your skin, you're Israel. Now, I don't think Joseph, when he married an Egyptian, cared about the color of her skin or how much melanin was there or whatever. I don't care about that. I really don't. I'm not saying totally ignore it, but I mean, what really matters is not your physical lineage. What matters is whether you walk the Yahshua walk. I don't care what your flesh looks like. A lot of things go on. Even our circles today, I'll talk about two house and one house. I'm a one house guy. Yahshua's going to join us together. But people assume because you have a great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa, maybe was, an Israelite, that gives you a higher standing somehow. I don't think so. But race was a major issue in the first century. It kept the Jews from reaching out to the Gentiles. It kept the Gentiles, eventually, in the second century, from accepting the things that were so-called Jewish. And their belief in the first century among Jewish people was, well, we're sons of Abraham. They're the Gentile dogs that were there. We can't touch them. They're unclean. We're above them. We're the head. They're the tail. And the focus on race presented a number of problems that even some of the early apostles got caught up in. That's why Paul had to rebuke Peter, not being straightforward with the good news. So, they couldn't believe it. Those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. What? As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify Elohim. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? They weren't even baptized yet. And they received the Spirit. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Master, and they asked him to stay a few days. They were shocked. How could it be? Because they have a different lineage that they could have the Holy Spirit. You know, you could enter some Messianic congregations today, and if you're Gentile, they put you in a second position. Because they say, well, the Jews are the head, the Gentiles are the tail. If you're a Gentile, you're a second-class citizen. They'll accept you, but you can't sit on the board of elders. And then somebody might tell you, don't worry about the law. Just keep the Noahide laws. Be a good Noahide now. I'll pat you on the head. And so their focus is still on race, where scripturally we're all seed of Abraham and the Messiah Yahshua, Galatians 3:29. We are all the seed of Abraham. Other groups, you'll be told, if you're a white European, you're one of the 12 tribes, and if you're outside one of those, you're a second-class citizen. Now, I'm not trying to paint all groups as being racist, but some people would say, the Christian identity, they call it, they keep the Torah, they believe in keeping the law. Some of them use the name Yahweh. And they belong to different groups, and they can get away with it. They probably belong to the KKK, because really they're racists, they're white supremacists. And so, I see this happening also on the Jewish side. I see black Hebrew Israelites doing the same thing. And there are people who get caught up in this. And they base everything on one's lineage. What did you earn by being born a certain way? I mean, you didn't earn anything. Yahweh chose your parents, that's about it. But everyone's trying to focus on the race. I just say, listen, we got to walk the Yahshua walk. You know, I had a Jewish believer a number of years ago. He wanted me to join his little club, you know, his little organization, saying his organization is uniting the 12 tribes. You know, I just don't think the organization of man is going to do the job. I don't think Yahweh is going to give credit to the organization. He's going to do it because he wants to do it, not to force anything. It's interesting. I mean, don't get me wrong, but hey, what is our focus? Where are our priorities? What is it that has our attention? Is it, my dad's better than your dad? I've heard six-year-olds say that. Come on, let's grow up. You're losing sight of what's important. And what it matters is not who your daddy is. What matters, that you walk the Yahshua walk. We all have to die to self. We've all got to seek righteousness. We have to realize Yahweh can raise up children of Abraham from a pile of rocks. It's not going to be the important thing. The important thing is going to be whether or not we've lived the way Yahshua lived. If we are sons of Abraham, great. Then live like a son of Abraham. Walk like a son of Abraham. Talk like a son of Abraham. Yahshua was talking to the Jewish people in his day. Yahshua said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What's their response? Well, we are Abraham's descendants. Have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say we shall be made free? What's his answer? Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Doesn't matter who your daddy is. You commit sin, you're a slave of sin. And only the Son can make you free, right? The slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. No matter who your daddy is. He says, I know you're Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you've seen with your father. What? Abraham? Wait a minute. The answer said, well, Abraham is our father. Yahshua said to them, if you were Abraham's children, which they're not, you would do the works of Abraham. Oh, they're his descendants, but they're not his children. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth which I heard from Elohim. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, well, we're not born of fornication. We have one father, Elohim. Yahshua said to them, if Elohim were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from Elohim. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks with his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. So he's looking at the character qualities here. These men had murderous intent. They did not stand in the truth. They were purveyors and conveyors of lies. Therefore, their true father was not Abraham, even though they were descendants of Abraham. So much for putting confidence in the flesh. Their father was a devil. That's what he told them. The focus in Yahshua's mind was not the physical ancestry. The focus, and the thing that had the center of his attention, was whether one was doing the works of Abraham or the works of the devil. We have to be careful. Your flesh, don't put confidence in it. You still have to walk the Yahshua walk. Yahweh's mercy is given to those who turn away from sin, receiving Yahshua in their life for atonement and cleansing. And in the end, what's really going to matter is what's going on in the hearts. I wonder how many of us can really prove that we're an Israelite anyway. For all you know, some grandpa was the milkman. You don't know. You don't know whether someone committed adultery and hid it and had a child that really wasn't an Israelite. I don't know. Maybe DNA can prove it. I don't know. But what's it going to prove, really? Doesn't prove you're saved. So there's a danger about race being the center of our attention or undue emphasis in our life. Genealogy and strivings about the law, they're not profitable. Endless genealogies, I should say. And so Yahweh says, don't worry about that stuff. Our goal is to maintain good works. Another area we have to be careful in our hearts that can take away and become a distraction is the way in which we study Yahweh's Word. Yahweh's Word is an amazing document. I mean, layers upon layers of depth. So many different topics. And the knowledge of Him is inexhaustible. You could not possibly exhaust the width and height and depth of His knowledge. And sometimes I hear, study topics that really aren't all that centered on pursuing righteousness. Now, it's kind of interesting, some things. Well, look, Messiah is seen here in this Old Testament verse. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, that's great. Hallelujah. Could be. Other times we hear what I call could-be sermons. The author has an idea of something he saw in the Bible, and so he finds Bible verses to justify the idea rather than getting Bible verses and that be the location where he's getting his ideas. Two different things. And so he presents a, quote, could-be sermon. It could be. But he's never really been able to prove what he's saying. It could be. And if it was, wouldn't that be really neat? I'm not trying to pick on other people and claim I'm any better than anybody else. I'm just saying, it alarms me. Because when you go through a bunch of maybes and could-bes, and maybe that goes here, then maybe that goes there, and mix and match and put things together, yet you can't really prove it, what happens is we start to lower our criteria for determining what truth really is. Because we're in all these maybes and could-bes and might-bes. And they all sound really cool and really neat and really amazing, and then we see, well, that could be, you know, probably is. I think I'll just bank on it, you know. We start accepting these kind of things as fact, which could be wrong, because we've lowered our criteria for what truth is, and we begin to accept other things that are not so innocent, but actually are dangerous doctrines. Because our emphasis is not on looking for the facts and looking for truth. I know one person, years ago, she studied. I mean, she just studied daily, hour after hour. And, you know, come to me with things and they say, oh, what about this? What about that? I'd say, well, maybe. Could be. I mean, you can't really prove it. Might be. Oh, they accept it as fact. That person no longer believes in Yahshua today. Maybe 12 or 13 years ago. Just to give you an idea of some of the dangers, because they fell into this thing where it didn't take much to prove anything. Scripture says, prove all things. Hold fast to what's good. What does the word really say? There's a way that seems right to a man, but end thereof is the way of death. So we have to be careful about being caught up in these could-be sermons. Sound fascinating. Could be kind of neat, but you can't really prove it. When I read in Paul's letters, in Cephas' letters, Peter, I read Scriptures, Book of Acts, what I find there is when anything significant happened, it was always the word of Elohim was magnified. The word of Elohim grew and was multiplied. That needs to be the center of our attention. The word and the will of Elohim, that is our focus. Another area that can be dangerous is doctrine. In fact, here's what happens. I'm not saying doctrine's bad, but there's some, and it could be us if we're not careful, get unbalanced and focus too much on one particular doctrine in Scripture. The doctrine may be in the Scriptures. It may not be in the Scriptures. But they get caught up in it. And that's all they think about. That's all they talk about. And they get out of balance. There's some people who are staunch Calvinists, other staunch Arminianist, or whatever you want to call it, whatever doctrine, whatever it might be, and it's all they talk about, or most of what they talk about. And you don't even hardly know their name, and the first thing out of their mouth is they're talking to you about this, whatever it is. You know. And they want to get into a debate over it. They want to talk about it. They want to prove to you their pet doctrine. And we got to be careful. We can think we've got the whole cow and all we're really holding up is a little piece of meat. You know? We think we got the whole cow. But it's not the whole cow. There's a whole lot of other things that we need to look at in Scripture. Not just the one little beautiful piece of meat there. I mean, it's good. Good stuff, maybe. Maybe it's not good. Maybe it's just garbage. And we think we got a piece of meat. So, we got to be careful about that, brothers and sisters. Watch out. The enemy is going about like a lion, seeking who he can devour. Conspiracy theories is another area. People say, well, that's happening. This is happening. And that's their that's the center of their attention, is what the evil government's going to do next. Most of the time they're wrong, I found. Cutting-edge websites about things going on. I remember when Bill Clinton was president, all those sites were saying, oh, he'll never get up his presidency. He'll cause martial law to come in. Never happened. George Bush, too. George Bush, oh, he'll never give up his presidency. He'll make sure martial law takes place. He'll take over. Never happened. Barack Obama, he'll never get up his presidency. He'll make martial law. Something will happen. I don't believe it. I never did believe it, but I don't believe it. look, they say it's going to happen, that's going to happen. I mean, it's almost like some of these conspiracy sites are like, what, you know, reading a National Enquirer. A bunch of gossip that no one can prove. So, listen, maybe some's true, maybe it isn't. How can you know? I'm not a fly on the room in the president's Oval Office. I mean, can you really prove it? Can you really prove it? I say, look, let's not get caught up in fear. And there's so many people so focused on what the devil's going to do next, they've lost what's supposed to be the center of our attention. That's what Yahweh wants to do in you. Next. A lot of these things can then bring us to a place where we're not even thinking about what Yahweh wants to do in our life. We're so focused on what the enemy's planned, we're not listening to the Spirit of Yahweh. We're running from the devil. And the devil is laughing his head off, enjoying it, because you're afraid. He's got you running from him and his plans. I'm not saying it's wrong to seek out a proper understanding or figure out what might be happening next in a prophetic timetable. We cannot let that be our primary area of attention. Another area. This is my personal commentary on things I've noticed over the years, having been in the Hebrew Roots movement since 1990. Oh, there's people who are so focused on historical proofs and sciences and academia and things like that, and they look at the Bible as some kind of a textbook or something, rather than words of life supposed to direct our paths. And unless they got some kind of historical evidence behind it, they have a difficult time really accepting what the scriptures teach. They want the cultural context. You know, I understand cultural context. You know, a lot of the cultural context you can find right in the scriptures. You don't even have to look outside scripture to find it. I think a lot of our cultural information can be found right there in the pages of scripture if we just look and listen carefully. Now, sometimes we can find facts and things and figures and inscriptions, but they can be highly interpretive at times, and so we got to be careful what we're accepting Yahweh's word, and that's in the highest place. That's the center of our attention. Because that's where Yahweh is speaking to us. And when Yahweh speaks to us, he needs to have our attention. What man finds in some old dusty town that's buried under a pile of rubble, I mean, that's interesting. And only if it confirms what Scripture says. But actually, I take that back. It doesn't confirm what Scripture says. Scripture itself confirms what it says is true. Those things happen to agree with Scripture, and therefore they are confirmed. You understand? Because a lot of that can be interpreted wrongly. Another area of imbalanced focus. Some people say, well, you know, I don't really have to pay so much attention to Scripture. I just get my daily downloads from the Spirit. If I don't get my daily download from the Spirit during my time of prayer, then, well, that thing over there in the Scripture must be spurious, or somebody added to it, or some Catholic guy monked with the Scriptures. Or some false pen of the scribes, and so I'm going to follow the Spirit. The words on paper. Oh, yeah, you can follow that if you want to. I'm following the Spirit. I've heard those kind of words. You know, when everybody does that, you can get all kinds of false spirits teaching you things. You can go down a dangerous path, a dangerous road. There have been people I've seen led astray by those who are claiming to follow the Spirit, and they kind of turn kind of poo-poo the Scriptures, like, oh, well, it's all been corrupted, it's not reliable. Listen to the Spirit. Sorry, buddy, but if it's not according to the Torah, the prophets, and the writings, and the Brit Kadashah, that's the New Testament, then there's no light in it. I don't care what you think you got from the Spirit. Because the scriptures I know are from the Spirit. I don't know what you're getting for sure. It might be, might not be. But the scriptures I know is my anchor. And I know the Spirit is speaking when I read the scriptures. Another area of dangerous focus is this so-called Hebraic mindset. Now, don't get me wrong. I like to say, let's look at the Hebrew mindset. Let's look at the Hebrew roots. I'm all for researching that. But I have serious questions when someone turns that Hebrew mindset into the, let's find out what the rabbis teach. Let's find out what the sages say. Let's look at what the Talmud has to say. And there are messianic rabbi wannabes who are trying to emulate that. And I have serious questions as to whether we're supposed to learn what we need to learn from the Hebraic mindset from the very kind of men who were wrong in the first century about who the Messiah was. They had the Hebraic mindset. They were Hebrews. But that particular element of the Hebraic mindset was wrong. They had a rabbinic mindset, which can be quite different. Followers of tradition mindset. A mindset of tradition is more important than scripture. A mindset that, oh, what the sages say, the rabbis say, is what we need to listen to. That's dangerous. Those sages rejected the Savior of men. Not all of them, but a lot of them. Yahshua says, beware of the leaven. That's the doctrine of the Pharisees and scribes. He warned us about that. So if you want to have a, I tell you what, you want to have a Hebraic mindset, go learn Hebrew. You learn Hebrew, guess what? You have a Hebraic way of looking at Scripture. It'll be reading. You'll be reading it in the Hebrew. If you want to have a Hebraic mindset, go out and get yourself a farm and start shepherding a flock of sheep or some goats. Raise some barley, some wheat. Get a vineyard going. If you know Hebrew and you do those things, I would say you'll be closer to having their mindset than some rabbi out there telling you this is what it is. Now, I understand you don't have to really have to do all that in order to understand Yahweh's word. He can reach you no matter what. But it can add color to the black and white we read in the English language. They say reading in Hebrew is like reading in color. But see, their lives were centered around agriculture, and so if you want that, live like they did. If you're looking for a historical background, great. But a lot of things people look for in historical background, you can actually find in scriptures. Again, I'm not against it all. I'm talking about what has the center of our attention. We don't need historical documents to explain scripture. The scripture explains the scripture. It can be neat. It can be helpful. But it's not the center of our attention. It's the word of Elohim. It's when He speaks. That should have our attention. It's living. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Discerner of the thoughts and the reason why you think them. And there is no creature hidden from His sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Are we listening? Are we listening? Does He have our attention? John 6:63, Yahshua said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit, and they are life. Have you thought about that verse right there? When I saw that verse years ago, I was just totally floored. I mean, I thought that was awesome. the words Yahshua speaks, he says they are spirit. So you're looking to hear from the Spirit. Find out what Yahshua said. And he's not just the Word in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's the Word in Genesis to Revelation. And the words that come are life. And sometimes we get caught up in other people's words that are spirit, and are the wrong spirit. And they're not life. They're death. Newspaper articles, academia, archaeology, theories, ideas, websites, YouTube videos, whatever videos, and there's no scripture in it. We got to look up what he says. If you want the Spirit, listen to his words. Spirit will rest upon you and fill you as you listen intently to his words with a repentant heart and a faith in the Messiah Yahshua. Now, another area that's dangerous, and you might think I'm really off the wall on this one, but it's Bible teachers, and even ones that tell you the truth, even the one you're watching right now or listening to. There's a large number of people who focus on listening to the latest Bible teacher, their favorite Bible teacher, and most of their spiritual food they get comes from listening to a teacher of Scripture. And they don't really read the Scriptures themselves. They're content just to let the Bible teachers tell them what to believe. We know that's spiritual laziness, really. Rather than doing your own research into the Word and letting the Spirit of Yahweh lead you, instead of listening to a plethora of teachings on any given subject and making a decision on what seems right, why don't you just do your own research? What if it's none of the above? What if they're all wrong? There's a danger in only relying upon men to give you truth and to give you the bread. I mean, anyone who opens the Word can be taught by him. Anyone, by the Spirit of Yahweh. You don't even need any man to teach you, Scripture says. You can be guided to all truth by doing your own reading, your own hearing, your own studying of Yahweh's Word. You don't have to tune in to Eliyahu.com broadcast to do it. Now, Yahweh has set in the assembly teachers and different people doing different things, and it's okay to do that. But Yahweh wants you to connect with Him personally. He wants a relationship that is void of distractions. Men, people, whatever, standing in the way. And you need to have your own relationship with Yahweh in the Word. You need to be reading daily and have your own relationship with Him in the Holy Scriptures. Your own personal communication with Him in the Holy Scriptures. If you don't, you're missing out. Maybe there's something He wants to tell you personally that you could be tremendously blessed by. And you're missing out because all you listen to is man and what the man tells you, the Bible says. And you could be led astray. I could make a mistake. And unless you know the Scriptures yourself, how would you know? And so our focus is not this teacher, that teacher, this teacher, that teacher, this teacher, that teacher, and that is what's qualifying or demonstrating our life. Yahshua, you've got to open that Bible yourself and labor through the Word. Again, it's not wrong to listen to a Bible teacher. Obviously, here I am. I'm here right now. I'm doing this. I'm teaching you something. But I'm trying to direct you to make sure you have your own personal relationship with Yahweh in the Scriptures. And Bible teachers should not be your sole method of study, because man's capable of making errors. I am subject to making errors. I try to be careful and stick to the Scriptures. I got quite a lot of Scripture in my sermons. But you got to be careful. Because I don't care how much a guy tells you, how much knowledge he has. Whatever Yahweh's shown him, yeah, I mean, Yahweh can show you too, but maybe Yahweh has something to show you that he don't even know. And nobody really knows. Except he wants to reveal it to you. So, another area of danger is, you know, you got all these denominations and, you know, the original followers all had one mind. They were in one accord. They were all together. They had unity with each other, and Yahweh had established, excuse me, that unity. It must have been really awesome. But we have to be humble enough to admit, we don't really have that right now. That kind of unity they had. I mean, they walked with Yahshua 3 years. You know. And they had a truth, and we're trying to preserve it, but we've lost the truth after the last 2,000 years. We're trying to get back to it. And some of the early reformers recognized that, and Martin Luther and others. Yeah, sola scriptura, they would say. We're going to follow the Scriptures, not tradition. Over time, those people developed their own traditions. Lutherans had that little group over here. People respected them and wanted to follow them. But then someone rose up in that group and said, well, the Bible doesn't teach that. Why are we doing this? Well, that's not what Luther taught. Well, but this is what the Bible says. Well, that's not what Luther taught. I think Luther had the Spirit. And so we have a division. A new denomination arises. And that guy starts his group, and then somebody else in that group says, well, what about this? And yeah, all these different men who were limiting people to following what the pure, unadulterated Word would teach. And so now you have this gigantic choice of different denominations, groups, organizations that have been built, and they all kind of have their thing going, and it all set up so that everything will stay the same, because if they were to change, the whole thing would fall apart. And so denominations are built. Statements of doctrine are posted. You have to agree to and sign a 3-page questionnaire before you can get baptized, and just all kinds of man-centered religion. We all have more to learn. Let's not stop and be hindered by denominationalism. Some new truth comes up. I don't want to have, you know, some man telling me I'm going to get kicked out because I believe it. I think we need to love each other no matter what. If we have repentance and faith in Yahshua, hallelujah. As far as I'm concerned, that's the main thing. We're not all at the same point in our walk, and that's okay. As long as we are all seeking to grow and are growing. You know, I find it very interesting, the time I live in. All the things going on where I'm seeing thousands and thousands of Gentiles coming in and Christians coming in and starting to realize the blessing and importance of the Torah, the Sabbath, the feast days, the holy names, the commandments, and so on. And I'm seeing thousands and thousands of Jewish people who are starting to accept the Messiah. And little messianic synagogues are popping up everywhere. And no denomination can claim they did it. It's the Spirit that's doing it. I don't know if there's ever been a time since the first century so many people have embraced both Torah and Messiah. I'm excited about it. It's a wonderful time to be alive. We're seeing a revival. It's right under the church's nose, and they don't even see it. They're crying out for revival, and they don't even see it happening. But it's happening. Since the first century, have this many people ever come to know both Torah and Messiah? I don't think so. I don't think so. But we also have a danger in setting up another, what I would call, prison house. Isaiah 42, verse 21, talking about Yahshua, Yahweh is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will exalt the law and make it honorable. Yahshua did. But this is a people robbed and plundered. All of them are snared in holes, and they are hidden in prison houses, synagogue walls. They are for a prey, and no one delivers for plunder, and no one says restore. They have their little sects, denominations, and they were robbing people of tithes and offerings, robbing widows' houses, Yahshua said. And they had their own little, they settled in their little doctrines, and that's where they stuck. And I think it's happened again. Yahweh's exalted the law and made it honorable, but then there's a lot of Christian groups who don't want to recognize that. And they got their little prison houses, their little church denominations, and that keeps you from growing outside wherever that church happens to have grown. So I think we need to be one of the voices that say, restore! It's time the prison houses are broken down. Let's not put our faith in man and denominations. That's why, you know, when one man falls in these denominations, the whole people's faith is shaken. Some leader or some elder or someone, they fall, and they fall into some kind of sin, and there are people who lose their faith because their faith was in man, not in Elohim. Jeremiah 17:5 says, cursed is the man who trusts in man, makes flesh his arm, whose heart departs from Yahweh. Yahweh is not the center of his attention. They really like this Bible teacher. The guy gets up caught up in a scandal, and their faith is tested. The one man we need to look to is Yahshua HaMashiach. He is our master. He is our rabbi. We are brethren. Speaking the word to you here. First century Judaism had their denominations. And Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, says, well, some people say, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul, I'm of this, I'm of that. Today people are saying, well, I'm of John Wesley, I'm of Menno Simons, I'm of John Calvin, I'm of that. Paul rebuked them strongly for that. We don't need politicking in the body of Messiah. We don't need it. We need Yahweh's Spirit leading us individually. And if the same Spirit that leads me is leading you, we will be in unity with one another, eventually. Our emphasis is not in trying to unify people under certain things. The emphasis is in our own personal unity with the Most High. And if we have a unity with the Most High, then the unity with each other will just come. It'll just happen. There are many dangers and traps and snares and distractions from what's really important. We need to make sure Yahweh has our full attention. We cannot be having attention deficit disorder when our Heavenly Father is speaking to us. Because we will face the judgment of the Messiah. And we're all facing, you know what, when all the confusion of the noise of the Bible teachers are silenced and the hammers and nails of denominations and organizations being built is heard no more, and the sound of debates and doctrines and arguments over which race is more saved then the other, and that's all quieted down, and the houses of academia and all the things going on there are no more, and there's no more presidents and no more news outlets, no more smartphones, no more wars, and all those things are gone. And the noise and the confusion and the madness is over. It's going to be you and him. That's it. And the intercessor, Yahshua HaMashiach. In all of this stuff, he wants to know, did you really seek to know him? To love him? Are you zealous for good works? Do you read his word because you love him or because you want to prove your little pet doctrine or something? Do you want to see his will prevail in your life and in the lives of others? Is that your intent? What does Yahweh really say he requires of you? You know, it's very simple. Micah 6, verse 8, he's shown you, O man, what's good. And what does Yahweh require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your mighty one? Is that it? That's really it. What does Yahweh require of you? To build denominations? No. Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly. Very simple message. It's a formula Yahweh requires of us. Everything needs to come out of those things. I want to do justly, and therefore I will try to understand the word of Yahweh, because I want to do justly. That's my goal, is to learn how to walk in love, to learn how to love Yahweh better, to learn how to love my fellow man better. That's why I do what I do, right? That's what it needs to be. Not to prove how much smarter you are than the next guy, because you also have to walk humbly. Don't be arrogant. Knowledge puffs up. But love edifies. And love mercy. That means you're going to seek Yahshua HaMashiach and receive the mercy that comes through him. So you're going to repent. That's to do justly. You're going to love mercy. You're going to love and seek Yahweh's mercy for yourself. And you're going to extend mercy to your fellow man because you love mercy. And you're going to forgive so that you may also be forgiven. And you're going to walk humbly. Not going to stand in judgment of other people. Judge not that you be not judged. Walk humbly with your Elohim. Isn't that amazing? All that Yahweh requires is summed up in right here. Repentance and faith and humility. Everything kind of flows out of those things. Another example is Deuteronomy 10, verse 12 says, now Israel, what does Yahweh your mighty one require of you but to fear Yahweh your mighty one? If you fear him, then you will do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. To walk in all his ways and to love him, because you love justice. You want to do justly, to serve Yahweh your mighty one with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of Yahweh and his statutes, which I command you today for your good, for your benefit. What does he want? He wants all of you, all of your heart, all of your strength. He wants you to love. That's what part of doing justly is all about. He wants you to walk in his image. He is merciful. He is just. And you need to be humble before him. You know, Scripture says that Yahweh humbles him to look upon man. That's how amazing and awesome he is. He wants to delight himself in you, brothers and sisters. He wants to smile at you. He wants to rejoice at the creation that he's made, with we being the crowning act of his achievements. He's looking for a seed. He's looking for children who will delight in him. that He can delight in. Can we come together as His children and be that special people for Him? I don't mean denominationalism. I don't mean esotericism. I'm talking about not crying out, we're the only ones. I mean a special sense that we each give ourselves completely to His service, and we love one another because we see each other doing the same things, and we have that common bond, that love of common love of Elohim. So whatever we do in word and deed, we're doing it in the name of Yahshua. Can you say that about your life? Can we all say that? Everything we do is in Yahshua's name. If you ever wonder whether something was wrong, ask yourself, could I do this in Yahshua's name? Would He be honored by this? Would He do it Himself? If there's some activity you're participating in, something you're focusing on, you wonder, is that appropriate? Can you do that in Yahshua's name? His leadership in our life is the wisest possible leadership there is. And we want His rule to be the rule in our life. Can we, as His body of believers, avoid the little cliques and compartments and dividing each other up into little segregated people? Can young people enjoy being around the old? Can the old enjoy being around the young? Can we avoid clumping together in groups of better-fitting denominational compartments and just accept each other and learn from each other no matter where our differences are? And seek out that unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And if we would focus on being unified with Yahweh, we'll know that unity will come we're looking for in doctrine. Because we're all headed that direction. Can we hold each other's hand along the way, help each other out? Don't have to force unity. Don't even have to worry about it. You seek Yahweh. Don't worry about your brother is not exactly on par with you. He doesn't see it the way you do. If Yahweh's leading him, He'll show him eventually. Or He'll show you what you need to do. Maybe you're wrong. There's no peace unless we're at peace with Elohim. There's no unity unless we're at unity with Elohim. We've got to walk in the fruits of the Spirit, the love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Let that flow through us, because that's how we're going to come to unity, because we're walking in love. That's His way. And we're going to love each other. I wonder if Yahshua still loves you even though you're not perfect. I think He does. What do you think? I think He does. Oh, if He doesn't, we're all in trouble, by the way. It's not where you are now so much and how much truth you have or how much of this you have or that you have. Where do you want to be? Where's your zeal? Where is the center of your attention? Scripture says in Romans 5:7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some won't even dare to die. But Elohim demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Messiah died for us. That's how we need to be with each other. While your brother's yet a sinner, love him anyway. Demonstrate your love for him anyway, while he's yet a sinner. Nehemiah verse 8. Chapter 8, verse 8 says, they read distinctly from the book in the law of Elohim. They gave the sense and they helped them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, because this day is holy to Yahweh, your mighty one, do not mourn nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Why were they weeping? They realized they had failed Yahweh. They did not want to fail Yahweh. And yet they did. They knew they did. And that they had big time made a mistake. And they were weeping over it. And what did he say? Don't weep or mourn. It's a holy day to Yahweh. Go your way. Eat the fat. Drink the sweet. Send portions to those for whom nothing's prepared. This day is holy to Yahweh. Do not sorrow. And what? The joy of Yahweh is your strength. Hallelujah. That's the fruit of His Spirit. When you fail Yahweh, and you feel terrible about it, and you're grieving over it, you come to Him, you confess it, you forsake it, 1 John 1:9, confess your sins, He's faithful, He's just to forgive you, cleanse you of all unrighteousness. What does it say in Scripture? There's joy in the presence of Elohim among all the angels when one sinner repents, right? So now, you've given it to Yahshua. That sin has been placed on Yahshua. You don't have to bear it anymore. You don't have to grieve about it. You don't have to cry about it. Oh, you can, you know, be sorry you did it and all that and not want to do it no more. But you don't have to feel guilt about it anymore, because that is on Yahshua HaMashiach. He is the expert at resolving our guilt. Because that sin's not on you. Scripture says, upon Him was laid the iniquity of us all. He resolves the problem. He shows you your value and your worth by dying for you. And then He takes your sin and says, put that on me. I'm the one that did it. But give me the guilt. I'll take it. Because Yahweh has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And we have a reason to rejoice now. Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Isn't that amazing? There will never be a time when we are at, in Yahweh's presence, there will never be a time where we're lacking joy. That's awesome. Yahweh is long-suffering. Exodus 34, verse 6, Yahweh passed before Him and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh Elohim, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. So, who says there's no grace in the Old Testament? They don't know what they're talking about. Psalm 63, verse 3, because your loving kindness is better than life. Wow. There's nothing in life you could find better than Yahweh's loving kindness. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Faith. Gotta have faith. Psalm 18:35, you also have given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. That's where there's pleasures. That's where there's joy. Your gentleness has made me great. We read in Scripture about how awesome David was. Man after Yahweh's own heart. That man made a lot of mistakes. But you know, the gentleness of Yahweh made him what he was. Will you allow Yahweh's spirit of gentleness to dwell in you in such a way that you receive His leadership? You don't feel always dragged down by your sin? You can sense His gentleness nudging you and directing you and leading you to press on toward the goal? The high calling that's in the Messiah Yahshua, forgetting those things which are behind and looking to the things which are before you and pressing on. Can we let Yahweh's Spirit dwell on us in such a way that we bear the fruit of gentleness toward another person who is not where they need to be? Can we just be loving, merciful, humble people who do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our Elohim as one body of Messiah? I hope so. I hope so. That's what I love about the feast that we've been hosting. I've seen that every feast I've ever hosted. Yahweh's people come together, and you see love. And I tell people, look, when you all come here, you're all from different backgrounds and ideas and denominations or whatever. You may look over at your brother's camp and go, man, he's involved in that kind of deal. Kind of shocked, maybe even offended, surprised. Didn't know he had that issue. Didn't know you had that difference with him. I dare say your gentleness with them will make him great too. Your gentleness with them will build him up and edify him. We can know, we can understand. It's not where we are right now in terms of knowledge that matters. It is the direction that you're headed. It's where your arrow is pointed. We all need Yahweh's mercy. Every single one of us need it. We all have overcoming to do. So let's get back to the center of our attention. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You hunger and you thirst for it, He will fill you. It does not say, blessed are those who have these particular lineages. Blessed are those who have these certain Bible teachers in their life. Blessed are those who built that denomination. Blessed are those who went to Bible school, to seminary. No, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. You hunger and thirst for it, I don't care where you are, He will fill you. The point of everything is to pursue righteousness, and there are two ways one can pursue righteousness and hunger and thirst for it. Number one, when we see the unrighteousness in ourselves, we want ourselves to be righteous, and we say, Yahweh, I'm not righteous. I'm not a righteous man. And we humble ourselves before Him and we say, will You make me righteous? Because I hunger and thirst for it. Will You make me righteous? Not by my own righteousness, but by accepting Yahshua the Messiah, in whom is Yahweh's righteousness, and through whom I can be made righteous. I hope so. And the second way is, because we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we want to walk it out. We want to live like Yahshua did. We want to walk in that image of Elohim like Messiah did. We want to walk in uprightness and truth and love and mercy and righteousness. Because the men who did that were blessed. Look at Noah. Yahweh said to Noah, come into the ark, you and your household, because I've seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Abraham. He brought him outside. Look toward now, toward heaven. Count the stars if you're able to. Number them. He said to them, so shall your descendants be. And he believed Yahweh, and He accounted it to him for righteousness. Because he believed. He had faith. It wasn't some empty thing. Yahweh said, I have known him in order that he may command his children, his household after him, that they may keep the way of Yahweh to do righteousness and justice, that Yahweh may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. It wasn't just some empty faith. It was real. Genesis 26:4, I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. There was no Torah in those days. Where did they find them? The commandments and statutes and laws were already well known. And it all pointed to one thing. Love. Love. So love needs to be at the center of our attention. Yahshua was asked a question, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Yahshua said to him, "You shall love Yahweh your mighty one with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." I don't care how many commandments you think you keep. You don't walk in love, you're missing it. If your house is not a household of love, some people are missing it. And you cannot claim to love either unless you're keeping the commandments. You cannot sever the law and the prophets from these two great commandments off of which they hang. You can't take a set of bolt cutters and cut them off, because all the commandments have one thing in mind. That's how to love. And if you're failing to keep a commandment, that means you're failing to love. Yahshua said, "Do not think I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." That means to do it. If your son or daughter, you told them to go to bed, and they went to bed, they fulfilled your commandment. Right? That means they did it. Right? If I said to my daughter, "Bring me a glass of water," and she brought it, she fulfilled my commandment. Now I can drink. Right? So when Yahshua fulfilled the commandment, that means he did it. He didn't come to destroy, he came to do it. "For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law until all is..." Actually, the Greek is a different word here. It means accomplished. This is pleru, which means fulfill. But here's the word having to do with accomplishing something. And there are still, last I checked, still heaven and earth out there. And so there are still things that need to be accomplished and done and fulfilled. There are still things that have to be done. The last enemy is not yet destroyed, which is death. And when the last enemy is destroyed, which is death, and sin is no longer, you won't need a law anymore to tell you you're doing something wrong. Right? So Yahshua said, "Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments," that means a failure to walk in love, "and teaches men so," teaches other men to no longer walk in love, "they will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps, does, and teaches them," that means those who walk in love and teach others to love, "he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Now, Scripture says the wicked will be ashes under the soles of your feet. They're there, but they won't be the least. The serpent is the least of all beasts because they're calling on the belly, right? So don't take confidence that you can break the least of the commandments and teach men to do it. You think you'll still be there. Well, you'll be there, but you won't be in the right place. So, we want to do and teach the commandments. In the end, it's not going to be how proficient you were in Hebrew that determines whether or not you're in the kingdom. It is going to be whether you are willing to walk in love. Scripture says, "Knowledge puffs up, love edifies." Right? Did you walk in love? That's the question. And so while we do want to look to the wisdom of Yahweh, it's not so that we can prove ourselves right or prove something. It's so we can more effectively walk in love. Because the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a sincere faith, from which some have strayed. Strayed from what? The purpose of the commandment, which is love. And a competitive nature is what they're really seeking. To be right, rather than to be righteous. Not always the same thing. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And so they don't understand the things they say or the things they affirm, because they don't understand the purpose of the commandment, which is love. To be doers, and not hearers only. So many times you hear the word, you're like, oh, okay, now I understand. That's why I couldn't do it before. That's why I couldn't seem to get it before. But now I understand this. I'm home free. I've done that before. Oh, once I understand it, then I'll be able to stop doing this particular thing, this bad habit I got. Once I fully understand everything. Well, it does help, I have to admit. But you still got to do it. You know, just understanding it doesn't get you there. You got to actually do it. So, unless you've done it, don't deceive yourself into thinking you've arrived just because you heard it. The one verse in the Old Testament says, "Don't one who puts on his armor should not boast like one who takes it off." In other words, before you go to battle, don't boast. Right? So, James 1:23 says, "If anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing himself, his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does." Want to be blessed in what you do? You really want to be blessed? Looking for a blessing? Simple. Be a doer, not just a hearer, and you'll be blessed. The word says, "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates of the city." Looking for a blessing. There you go. Walk in love. Those who are loving are keeping the commandments. Those who are keeping the commandments are walking in love. A lot of people think that the love commands replace everything else. No, the love commands are a synopsis or a summary of everything else. So we're talking about loving our Creator. We're talking about loving one another. That is the center of our attention. Out of love, we want to know the word of Yahweh so we can love Him more effectively. And we love Him because He first loved us, 1 John 4:19. And because His love for us is so intense, when His Spirit's dwelling in us, our love for each other will also be so intense. That's why the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, kindness, and so on. It's when we see someone who's in prison, we visit them, we hear someone who's sick, we pray for them, we see someone grieving, we weep with them and we help them. We see someone hurting, we desire to seek them out and heal them. We see a hungry soul, we feed them. Whether physically hungry or spiritually hungry soul. Actions demonstrate love. Now, actions themselves don't necessarily prove love. You know that? You know, there was this man, he spoke the word of Yahweh, I mean with power, with authority. His words he spoke, the sermons he spoke, convicted the hearts of thousands. He could actually prophesy. He was a prophet. He understood mysteries. He had tremendous amounts of knowledge. And when he prayed, mountains were moved. He didn't own a thing. He gave everything he had to the poor. No home, no car, no house, nothing. And finally, there was a certain class of people that hated his guts, and they burned him alive because he was a believer. You think that man will be found in the kingdom? Nope. Not necessarily. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Too often on Facebook and pictures, people parading themselves. We're not supposed to be puffed up. We're supposed to be humble. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity. But rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. Yahweh is love. The entirety of Yahweh's word is centered around His love for us and how we are to love Him and how we are to love one another. And if we are missing that, we're missing the whole thing. It's about loving. Some people accuse me of being legalistic. I realize if my motive is off, I'm not really anything. Some people might accuse you of being legalistic, because although you call on His name and observe the Sabbath, you might appear to be doing what seems scriptural and the right things, but you don't really have any love, and so it's nothing. Now, the fact that you might pay attention to detail, and that you might care about the little things in the scripture, that doesn't make you a legalist. In fact, I'll give you an example. There was a husband who wanted to make a dinner for his wife. And so he went to McDonald's. He sat Big Macs on her plate, and Big Macs on his plate, and found a little flour out there in the weeds, put it in a jar, and they had dinner. There was another husband who wanted to have dinner with his wife. He got out the best dishes, the best tablecloth, the finest glasses. He found out what her favorite meal was and he made it himself. He got the candles going. And everything was just right. Is he being a legalist? He's walking in love. So the fact that we want to have this desire to please Yahweh in every tiny little thing does not make us a legalist. It may just mean we love Him. But it's got to be out of love, not out of religion. It has to be out of relationship, not out of religion. Because again, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart. A good conscience and from a sincere faith, from which some have, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things they affirm. Why? Because they strayed from what? The purpose of the commandment. Which was love, from a pure heart, from a sincere faith. If that's not the center of your attention, as learning how to love Yahweh more and please Him more because you love Him, and learning how to love your fellow man more, all your knowledge doesn't mean a thing to Him. You don't even understand what you're talking about because you're quoting the scriptures and you don't even understand what they're saying. Or what you're even trying to affirm. You don't even understand it because you don't understand the reason for the command. So you're looking for a mindset about the mindset of love. It's not wrong to thirst for knowledge. But make sure Yahweh is your attention. Not the things of this world. Are you walking in love and doing justice and loving mercy? Because listen, no other foundation can anyone lay than which is laid, which is Yahshua HaMashiach. If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. But no other foundation can you lay than Yahshua HaMashiach. You can keep all those commandments all you want, unless Yahshua HaMashiach is your foundation. His walk, His love, His example, the cleansing you receive from Him, you're missing it. If your life is not seasoned with grace, it's all about law, 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 command, 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 control, 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 you've missed it. No other foundation can anyone lay but Yahshua HaMashiach. Some people think now law and love are opposites. They're not necessarily opposites. When you offer correction, it can seem harsh or mean or cruel. And if you're being harsh and mean or cruel, that's probably why. But you can say your gentleness will make that person great if you're gentle with them. The law is holy and just and good. If you want to walk in goodness and holiness and justice, yes, you should follow Yahweh's law. And that's all good. Did you know that you cannot point, I dare say, you cannot show me a single scripture in any of the Bible that, if understood properly in the context in which it was given, where love was not its aim? Love is the aim of every single verse inspired by Yahweh in Scripture. You know, even Yahweh's choice to condemn and put people in the lake of fire is actually an act of love. It has to be. Yahweh is love, right? He doesn't do anything that's contrary to love. How could that be love? You probably wonder. You know, Yahweh's choice to put an unrepentant man in the lake of fire is love, because if Yahweh's going to set a kingdom up where only love is permitted, and along comes some man who doesn't want to walk in love, that wouldn't be very loving of him to put that in our, put him in our place, where we're trying to walk in love. It wouldn't be very loving for him to be in our society that we're trying to build in the age to come, because the unloving man would corrupt the rest of us and hate the rest of us. So it's actually loving if he's not with us. And so when Yahweh gives commandments, and when He gives so-called the law, which is actually the teaching in Scripture, the word law, Torah, means teaching, it's only that we may more effectively understand how to love. Yahshua says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. You want the Spirit of the living Elohim in you? Keep the commandments, love Him, and He will give you the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not love Him. It does not see Him nor knows Him, but you know Him because He dwells with you and will be in you. Yahweh created a beautiful world for us to live in. He's giving us every good thing we have. He gives us life, He gives us hope, and in spite of man's choice to ignore Him and choose his own way, He still loves us and offers us His own Son, who died for us and bore our sin. Is it too much to ask that we would love Him back? No, it's not too much to ask. And so here is the conclusion, my brothers and sisters. Let's hear the conclusion. This is the love of Elohim, that we keep His commandments. His commandments are not burdensome. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep His commandments, for this is the man's all. For Elohim will bring every secret work, every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Every secret thing. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of their people. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was, since there was a nation even to that time. At that time your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. We need to seek wisdom. There's a dear sister I know that we lost this week who turned many to righteousness. She is going to shine like the stars forever and ever. Are you turning people to righteousness? Do you care about your fellow man? Many are running to and fro, but the goal is that we love, that we walk in righteousness. Many are trying to build their own little kingdoms on the earth, but unless that's Yahweh's kingdom, it's all for naught. Castles made of sand. And so with a love for Yahweh and a love for our fellow man being the place where we have placed our attention, that it might be said in that final day, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Let's set aside the things which will never really matter in the final day. The distractions of the devil that take our focus away from what really matters. And let's make sure our attention is on the things that truly do matter. And that's the way of truth, the way of life, and the way of love. Let's do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our Elohim. Heavenly Father Yahweh, Kadosh, 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 be your awesome name. O Yahweh, we desire your kingdom to be established, your will to be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Continue to provide for us our daily provisions, spiritually and physically, and forgive us where we have failed you. As we forgive one another who have failed us, as we all fail each other, Father, keep us from temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. Let's orient ourselves, Father, please. Teach us to orient ourselves, to focus on the things that really matter. Unloading the distractions of the devil. Even if it's something that takes so much of our time, there's no time left for you, as the thorns often do. Lead us, Father, by your Spirit. Become a people who are growing and learning and loving. For truly yours is the kingdom and power and glory and majesty, and all honor, praise, and worship belongs to you. Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh our Mighty One, forever and ever. In Yahshua's great name we pray these things. So let it be. Amen.